Moses wanted to see God's glory. And so God put him in the cleft of the rock and demonstrated his glory to Moses. And Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days. When he came back, his face was shining. And then they built the tabernacle, and they raised the tabernacle. There's the end of Exodus. And the glory of God came down and filled the tabernacle. And that's the end of Exodus. But then it goes on into Leviticus for about 9 more chapters about the offerings that they were presenting. Burnt offerings, all kinds of offerings. And then something else happened. And that's where I want to begin here. I'm going to begin in a story. And so this is how the story begins there. And Aaron lifted up his hand and he blessed the people. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle and they came out. And they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, which when they saw, and the fire from the Lord came out, and it consumed on the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted, and they fell on their faces. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each one took his censer and put fire into it and put incense thereon and offered strange fire unto the Lord, which he had commanded them not. And a fire came out from the Lord, and it consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is that which the Lord has spoken. I will be made holy in everyone who comes near to me. And I will be glorified before all the people. So what just happened? So many of us would like to see the glory of God. Is that right? Have you ever seen the glory of God? Would you like to see it? what do you think would happen if the presence of God would come into our midst like that? How would you respond? So let's look a little bit at what's happening here, and we'll kind of walk through that maybe. So we have the story that they very meticulously built the tabernacle. Is there anyone here that has never read the book of Exodus and the tabernacle? Let's say how many have read that. You've read about the tabernacle. Okay, all wow, that's pretty good. I don't know if you're just afraid to raise your hand or not. So the tabernacle was built, and when it was dedicated, when it was finished, the glory of God filled that tabernacle. Can we learn something for our lives today? What are your thoughts? Does the presence of God fill the tabernacles today? He does. Does he? How do you know? Does your face shine? But then something more happened. The tabernacle was complete. It was finished. And God came down. The glory of God came down and filled the tabernacle so that the priests could not even go in there. Then 10 chapters later, 9 chapters later, we have all those specific offerings were given. And when those offerings were completed, everything was finished. There was the burnt offering, there was the sin offering, and the peace offering. Now, I'm not sure if there was fire in the altar at that time or not. It might not have been, might not be. But Aaron comes down from offering that up. He blesses the people. And Moses and Aaron go into the tabernacle. What do you think they did in the tabernacle at this time? Any thoughts? Were they just going for a walk? Or you think they had a purpose for going into the tabernacle at this point in time? Bible scholars, preachers, tell me. Youth might not know, but some of your older brothers should know. What would have the purpose been for going into the tabernacle at that point? And then it says, and they came out, and they blessed the people, and then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. What might they have been doing in the tabernacle? What are your thoughts? Praying? Good. Interceding? How did they intercede? Asking God to show his glory? Come on. Let's keep going. What might they have been doing in the tabernacle? What was happening in there? Meet with God. Okay? Yes. What else? Praising God? Here's what I think was happening. I would tend to think that it was the point in time where they, where Aaron would have went the first time into the Holy of Holies with blood. And what was the purpose for that? Forgiveness of sins. Sacrifice and forgiveness of sins for who? Atonement for the people. I would tend to think that's what happened. And so when Aaron goes into the Holy of Holies there and he puts blood on the on that holy place, and he comes back out again, and Moses there waiting for him, and then Aaron and Moses out of the tabernacle. And there's one more thing that happens before the glory of God appears. What was it? Do you remember?
Fire came down.
They blessed the people. I don't know if they pronounced the blessing of Numbers something or not, but when they had blessed the people, then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord, from the before the Lord, and it consumed on the altar the burnt offering and the fat thereof. What might that have sounded like?
A rumble and a crackling.
A rumble and a crackling. Anything else? What do we call that today?
Thunder.
Which when all the people saw, they shouted. And they fell on their faces. What do you think was happening in the hearts of all the people at that moment? Help me out. Talk to me.
They were afraid.
Okay. They saw the glory of God, okay? Is that something to be afraid of? And they shouted, and they fell on their faces. Help me out. What was happening? What was happening in their hearts?
Worship?
So you think they bowed down in worship? Other thoughts. What was happening in their hearts? Were they afraid? Repentance? Maybe. So if I'm correct that they actually did the blood, you know, the atonement, that once a year atonement at that time. Excuse me. What did it mean to the people to have a response from God like that? What did that signify? What did it indicate?
God is alive and he's real.
Yes.
It meant that he had accepted the sacrifice and their sins were atoned for.
Right on. It would have meant that God has accepted the sacrifice. And what else did you say?
Their sins were atoned for.
Which I don't know if they understood that at that time or not. I think they were afraid. How do you feel when lightning and thunder strikes that close? You afraid? I am. I remember one specific thunderstorm as a little boy. I was probably, 6 years old or something. I thought that thunderstorm went on for hours and hours and hours. It was just such a long time, and I was really afraid. I must have been traumatized, guys, to remember it today. I can still see all the pictures. Anyhow. So what else could have happened at that point in time? What if they wouldn't have properly built the tabernacle? Do you think the glory of God wouldn't have filled it? And so what do you think would have happened if they wouldn't have brought all the offerings according to the word of God? What if they had chosen, or had some of their own ideas about how to do this, or offered something different, or not offered something that was said to be offered? What do you think the outcome would have been? God would not have been as pleased. Wouldn't have been pleased, okay? And do you think the fire would have fallen? Maybe on the people. Good. What else? What else might have happened or could have happened? Just think about it.
Nothing.
Now, how do you think those people would have felt if nothing happened? They probably went home and said, we had a pretty good worship service, right? Yeah. Well, God was there. But nothing really happened. So then we move on into the next part where these two young men, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they take their own censer and they put fire into it. And then they take incense and they offer incense unto the Lord, which the Lord commanded not. Boom! I should have fell down dead too, right? Just, can you see it happening? They're putting incense on there, and fire comes out from the Lord, and it consumes them. That's another lightning strike, and this time it hits two of the guys, and they die before the Lord. And then Moses says these very important words. Does anyone remember what he said? Do you know what he said? This is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord has spoken. I will be made holy in all of those who come near to me. And I will be glorified before all people. I will be made holy. I will be sanctified. I will be made holy in all of those who come near to me. And Aaron held his peace. Now what's happening? So, The people are still, all the people was gathered together, all the congregation was there. And they're still in their faces. And these two young men, they get up and they do something. Any thoughts about what was in their mind? What might have been in the mind of these two young men that they did that? Do you think they wanted to get glory for themselves? Okay. Anyone else? So if they wanted to get glory to themselves, were they expecting the fire of God to fall again? Maybe, but maybe not in the way they thought it would. I don't know. So you're telling me that in the midst of a time when the glory of God comes down, it's possible that we can have wrong motives in our hearts. What do you think about that? Other thoughts? Maybe they saw Aaron and Moses being the leaders, and they saw that to them, maybe they, you know, do you think they were jealous? Do you think they wanted to be leaders? Do young men still get jealous today? Never. Right? Some? Do young men still aspire to be leaders? Let me see your hands. How many of you young men want to be leaders? Why do you want to be a leader? Be nice to be up front. Everybody can watch me, right? Come on. Let's just, is that right? Don't you like when people watch you, think well of you? I don't see any hands. Why not? So what do you think about what God said there? I will be made holy in all those who come near to me. What does it mean? Any thoughts? And I will, in front of all the people, I will be glorified. God isn't God saying that? I will be glorified by all the people. And I will be made holy. In other words, what's another way we could say that? I will be made holy in all those who come near to me. Does that mean that if I draw near to him, that I will be made holy inside? What do you think? What if you could draw near to God? What do you think might happen inside of you? Do you think you would be made holy? Think about, just go through the scriptures and think with me. Think of one person who met God, either met God or met Jesus or something, and their life was changed. Give me some names. Zacchaeus. Apostle Paul. Okay. Changed. Totally changed. Others. Mary. Mary Magdalene. Okay.
Simon Peter.
Samuel the prophet. Okay.
Isaiah.
Wow. Yes. In almost every situation, almost every story in the Bible, when the people had an encounter with God, their lives changed. Drastically changed. Think of the woman at the well. Don't you love that story? Is God still the same today as he was back then? Hmm? Does he still want to be made holy in every one of our hearts? And does he still want to be glorified in front of all the people?
Yes.
He does. So how does it happen?
Draw near.
Draw near. Okay. Have what? Have a fear of God. Maybe we need to have a meeting with God, right? Are there young people today who grow up in a good Christian home and they really want to serve God? And they, you know, go with the flow. Become a member of the church, get baptized, and do their very best. Is there anyone here like that? You don't need to raise your hand. Without having a real encounter with God, is that possible? Is it possible that there might be some young people here tonight that are at that place? You have tried to serve God in one way or another, but you've never really met him. I believe that every single person who meets Jesus will be transformed. Every single one. What is the glory of God? Can someone tell me? What's your definition of the glory of God? There's a lot in the Bible about it. What is it? Don't be afraid.
His presence.
His presence. Okay. Anyone else? Anything more? Is his presence here today? Did I hear someone? A filling of the Holy Spirit? Okay. So how do I know if the glory of God is here? How do I know if the glory of God is in you? It should radiate from the life. Moses' face was shining. So I should wipe my face with oil so it shines, right? I think you know what I mean. Sometimes we just say, that person is just alive and his face is shining. You ever see someone like that? The face was shining. I mean, no, it wasn't like a flashlight, but something about that. Yeah, the face was shining. Especially, this is especially important when we are living or working amongst a people where there is very little light. Working in Greece, there, the refugee camp, working with Middle Eastern people who come from a land where it is very dark, their religion is very dark, the land is very dark, and when they come and they get to meet you, and they say, your face is shining. Do I realize my face is shining? Probably not. Right? What did Jesus say? You are the light. You are the light of the world. Am I? What if there's darkness inside? Am I really going to be shining brightly? Can I shine for Jesus if there's darkness inside? The light certainly won't be bright, will it? I tell these stories a lot because I do training for I-58 like once a month. If you ever come to I-58, maybe I'll get to train you there. I'm not sure. But there was this refugee woman who was in Moria camp there back in 2016 and went on up into Germany. One of the volunteers that happened to be up there in Germany and met this lady, and this lady was all excited, and she said, it was when I met those people in Moria camp, I decided I want to be Christian. They didn't preach to me. They didn't give me a gospel tract. They didn't stuff anything down my throat. But it was the way, it was their life. I saw the way they lived, and I said, I want to be Christian. And today, I'm a born-again believer because I watched those people in Moria camp. And yes, we're not allowed to preach in the camp. We're not allowed to teach or speak about the Bible unless they ask us. But if every single day there's 50 volunteers who go into that camp and their faces are glowing, do you think that will have an effect? That is probably the very absolutely best effect that we could have in that camp whatsoever. And we believe that there are thousands, probably tens of thousands of believers in Europe today because they passed through that camp and they got to see some of you there. There's another lady in Athens, a refugee lady, wears the hijab. One of the sisters befriended her and they got for coffee different times. And she invited her to come to church. So one day, this Muslim lady comes to church with her. And after church is over, she says to her, this Muslim lady says, tell me, What is this light that I see in you? I've seen this light in you for a long time, but today I saw that same light in everybody in the church. What is this light? And she was able to tell her, it's Jesus Christ. He is the light of this world. And you are the light of the world too, aren't you? Are you? I am. Because the glory of God has risen upon us, and his light is seen. Let me tell you another story just to get this point home. You like stories? So I told this story to our home church because we kept coming back from Greece again and again. We just tell like the same old story of how things are going, and they all just kind of like, you know, yeah, okay, once Emmanuel's done, we'll go home or something probably. You know. So like, it's because I love stories, so I told him this story. Like there's this big sea over there in the Middle East, and I'm calling it the Middle East Sea. And then there's this big sea over here in Europe. Just draw a line here, and you know, here's the Middle East, and over here is Europe. And this is the Middle East here. And there's lots of different kinds of fish in this Middle Eastern sea here. And there's lots of different kinds of fish in this sea in Europe. There's also other great big seas out there, like one called America, which is really far away. But they can't go there. But so many of these fish in this Middle Eastern sea, it's very, very dark there, and they hear stories about the fish who live over here, that there's lots of jobs there, and there's free hospital, free medical, there's schooling there, and there's, you know, they take care of you there, and there's lots of money there, and so lots of these fish, they want to go to this other sea over here. But the problem is that there's this land border here when fish can't go across the land, right? By the way, the religion in this Middle Eastern Sea is Fishlam. And the religion here in this sea is Fishtians. So these fish, there's so much fighting and killing and just destroying each other there continually. They just really would like to go to that other sea where there's peace and safety. That's what they would like. But they have to travel. So they travel over here to this border, but there's a land border here. But luckily, fortunately, there's some smugglers here who have fish trucks, fish tank trucks, and the fish actually pay a good price to get smuggled over this land border, over to this other sea. If they could just get over here into this sea here, they would be just fine. There's some small ponds here, and some ponds here. One of those is called Lesvos. If they could just somehow get across to this pond, that pond belongs to this sea here, and if they could get there, that would guarantee they could eventually move to the big sea over here. Trouble is that the police try to stop that all, and they Sometimes they catch those fish trucks and they send them back again, and the fish have to be dumped out again. And sometimes they even punch holes in the fish tank trucks and the water drains out and the fish all die. It's very, very dangerous. But if they can get to this place called Lesvos, that little pond there, then they get put into that pond. And it's a pretty safe place for them. There's a lot of different kind of fish in that pond. But they notice something very unique about some of the fish. Some of those fish seem to have, like, this glow. You ever hear of glowfish? Ever hear glowfish? They're like really deep in the ocean, right, where it's really dark and they have this little light dangling out in front of them or something, right? Have you read about glowfish? Okay. So they get to this little pond there in Lesvos, and they see some of these fish are actually like glowing. It just seems like light just shines out of them. And it's very, very intriguing. They've never seen anything like that before. They didn't know there are glowfish. And they find that when they begin to spend time with those glowfish, then before long, they'll start glowing too. Isn't that neat? So when they come to us and they ask us, you know, what's this glow that comes from you? Well, you know, we don't even realize we're glowing, do we? But they're coming from a very, very dark place. So they ask, well, what is this glow? What is this light that we see in you? You know what I say? I think it must be the glory of God. Isn't it the glory of God shining through each one of us? Isn't that what God wants? And then they, furthermore, there's actually, in that big sea in America, there's actually fish hatcheries there where they hatch specifically hatched glowfish. And the purpose is to hatch those glowfish and raise them up to glow really bright so they can send them out to all the other seas in the world to glow, right? And there's lots of glowfish schools there. That's a pun. Glowfish schools. School of fish, right? But the problem, you know what? Many of those fish hatcheries, fish don't glow anymore. Why not? Why aren't they glowing? They're raised to be glowfish, but they're not glowing. So this is what I tell young people at training. I'm going to tell you too. What does it mean to consecrate our lives? What does the word consecrate mean? Who knows? Set apart. Set apart for a purpose, maybe. So after I go through all this with the training teams, I tell them, now, wouldn't you like to, would you like to see the glory of God? Would you like to see the glory of God? You're not afraid? Should we be afraid? No? And then I tell them, I said, if you would consecrate yourself for this next 3 months, you would see the glory of God. And they come from all different kinds of Mennonite and Amish communities, pretty much. And they look at me like, what do you mean I would see the glory of God? I'm just blowing them out of the water. Yeah. That's another pun. I didn't even try that. What does it mean to consecrate yourself? Let me see your hands. For some people, it seems like God has to, you know, do this, right? And I'm holding on as tight as I can, whatever, I don't know what it might be. But God is well able to just keep working me over, you know, my treasures, my dreams, my self, right? To where I finally, you know, open my hand. So the word consecrate, the picture of the word consecrate is open hands. I'm not holding on to anything. I'm not holding on to anything. I'm not hiding anything. And so I was doing this to this one team, and I had them stand, and we prayed and said, you know, if you're willing to just consecrate your life to the Lord for the next 3 months, you'll see the glory of God. And they all just like, you know, really they're just blown out of the water. 3 months later, I'm in Greece. In Lesbos, visiting. And I get to sit across the table, that those low Middle Eastern tables there at the brick, you know. Oh, so many good memories there. And I sit across from this little petite Amish girl from Ohio. And she had been in the training 3 months earlier. And I said, do you remember what I taught at the training 3 months ago? And I could just see the wheels. I mean, her mind was just spinning because 3 months ago was way, way back there. She'd forgotten about all that stuff probably. I mean, that's what happens. When you get so intense for 3 months, you kind of forget what happens before you even came. So I just said, do you remember what I said? She says, no. She said, blank look in her face. I just went like this. Oh, yeah. You said that if I would consecrate myself to the Lord for these 3 months, that I would see the glory of God. And I said, have you seen the glory of God? And I mean, her face was just shining. Yes, I've seen the glory of God. And I kind of smiled at her. I said, what does it look like? She had no words, and that's okay. It's okay to not have words about that. I will be made holy in all of those who draw near to me. Do you think the fire of God will fall? Like this? Maybe it would fall if I would do this. Maybe the glory of God, maybe I would get to see the glory of God. And I can say with confidence to those teams going to Greece, if you will do that from your heart, you will see the glory of God. And many, many, many of them are. Could I say that to you here today? Let's stand together. You just open your hands as the Lord leads you. There's no pressure. But if you have a desire to see the glory of God, and what is the glory of God? It is simply the outshining of His presence. And I believe we can see it in the people around us, those who walk with Him. Because in their lives, He is made holy. God wants to be made holy in every heart here tonight. And when He comes into the heart, He will make that heart holy. And it's simply by faith. I invite you just to pray, talk to the Lord in your heart, and open up your hands. And if you're holding on to anything, just let it go. Father, we want to see Your glory. I must see Your glory. I must have Your presence. I don't want to live another day without Your glory. And You said in Isaiah 60 that the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. His glory shall be seen upon you. Father, we thank You that You've sent Jesus Christ, the fullness of glory from heaven. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And You want us to be shining with that same light, because that same life now dwells within by faith. And not only is it a mind thing, it's a reality in the heart. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. I would like to, if I may be so bold, to invite you young people one at a time to stand and share a brief testimony of what God has spoken to you here tonight, how you plan to live it out. But let's take some time and just really listen to the Lord and ask Him to speak to our hearts, that life, and words that we can share with others. Thank You, Jesus.